The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
This is something we've seen again and again in these cases, these trials that they played out with people who were at the Capitol, people in this case who led the attack on the Capitol, which is, and it's a legal offense, right? They're trying to keep out of jail. They need something. But in some cases, and both of these guys who were sentenced yesterday, crying in court, Mr. Real saying, I'm done peddling lies for other people who don't care about me, apologizing to his friends, his families, even apologizing to prosecutors, saying, look, I believed lies about the election. I know now that they were lies. It didn't really spare them. They're going to jail for 15 and 17 years, respectively. But this is the case they're making. Donald Trump and others, members of the media, told us a lie. We bought it and attacked the Capitol in what we thought was a patriotic act.
Yeah, Willie, I think that we've had, hundreds of these January 6th cases now come through the courts, and we've seen defendants convicted and sentenced. And I think at this point we can look and say overall the justice system is getting this right.
The justice system is getting the, it's really sickening to see these people gloating. I just saw another clip this morning. Where they were just, the guy did it with a bright smile, talking about Rudy Giuliani, how he's being buried by all of these legal fees. Of course, he's had his apartment and office raided. Same thing with Donald Trump. And then all the January 6th protesters. Hundreds of cases, says Eugene Robinson. And they're getting it about right. These two Proud Boy members put to prison, sent to prison for 17 and 18 years. For what? Well, we'll get into that here in the first segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this Labor Day Monday. Labor Day means labor for us. Actually, we might finish the program a little early today. We'll see how it goes with some of the stories that we want to get through. You can get to the live video stream of this show, of course, at our website. Just go to trumpetdaily.com. Or you can go to the Rumble channel. There's people watching on Rumble even as we speak. They're enjoying the show at The Trumpet Daily on Rumble. This program also is played every evening, every weekday evening at 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern. That would be on LFA TV. I also should notice that or note that my father's program, The Key of David, that has an airing on LFA TV every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. and then 3 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern time. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure on the Rumble channels in particular, whether it's LFA or our own Rumble channel, that you give us the thumbs up, like, that you share the video, and leave a comment too if you'd like to. You can email this show at td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about my Twitter handle as well. That's at Stephen Fleury, Stephen with a PH, at Stephen Fleury over at Twitter. So this story from ABC, it's from a couple days ago, and it's talking about these two guys, Proud Boy members, Ethan Nordine and Dominic Pizzola. I think those are the two going off to prison now for 17 and 18 years. And you read the detail. There's a lot of detail in this. You can tell ABC is really excited about this story. The problem is there's not much detail about what these guys actually did. What did they do on January 6th? Well, we'll get into that. It says here, Nordine's sentence is tied for the longest in connection with the Capitol attack. It's a new record. It says here, two former members of the far-right Proud Boys extremist group were sentenced Friday for their roles in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. You read through this and you see just how important it was for them to establish this false narrative. Seditious conspiracy. Insurrection. It says here, U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly, he's a radical,
through and through, sentenced Ethan Nordine to 18 years in prison. Former Proud Boy Dominic Pozzola was sentenced to 10 years in prison. And the other one last week, which we talked about, he got 17 years. It says here, Nordine's sentence is tied for the longest for any defendant charged in connection with the Capitol attack. It says Oath Keepers leader Stuart Rhodes was sentenced to 18 years in prison in May. So he's right up there now with Stuart Rhodes, the leader of Oath Keepers. It says in handing down the sentences for both Nordine and Pozzola, Judge Kelly accepted the government's recommendation to apply an enhancement that effectively labeled their crimes as acts of terrorism. So they had to enhance this law in order to get another 10 years put on the sentence, an act of terrorism in seeking to influence the actions of government through threats and use of force. ABC says here, prosecutors said both Nordine and Pozzola led rioters to the Capitol on January 6th and engaged in acts that allowed the crowd to proceed. They engaged in acts that allowed the crowd to proceed. You see what they did? You see what they're guilty of? Nordine tore down fences, which allowed the first wave of rioters to continue advancing. So he was out front. And of course, we don't even get into all the others who did similar things that never were charged for anything because they were plants, they were informants, they were feds. It says here, and Pozzola used a stolen police riot shield to break through a window at the Capitol, allowing rioters to breach the building. So not that any of this behavior is right, but stealing a shield, a police shield, and then breaking a window. And I believe that's the one who's going off to prison for 10 years. 10 years. Nordine, it says, who had been convicted of charges of seditious conspiracy and several other felonies, was a full and active participant of this conspiracy, prosecutors said. He was someone other rioters turned to for advice during the events of January 6th, and prosecutors called him the undisputed leader on the ground. So they were looking to him for advice. They were storming the Capitol. They were conspiring to take over the government of the United States. And if any of that were true, as I say, it had to have been the worst planned insurrection in the history of the world. No weapons, no guns, nothing. Well, there were some guns that were firing at the protesters. Just ask the family of Ashley Babbitt. And what happens to that Capitol Hill police officer? Well, he gets promoted, of course. It says, in addition to tearing down the fence that allowed fellow rioters to march toward the Capitol, Nordine, a leader in the Proud Boys organization, actively recruited men for January 6th who were prepared to engage in physical violence if necessary. You see, they were prepared for violence. They were thinking about violence. They were thinking about committing violent acts. But notice there's not a whole lot here about the actual violence. Says here, once inside, prosecutors said Pozzola filmed a video of himself having a victory smoke in the Capitol. He had a victory smoke, so of course he's going off to prison. Says here, also Pozzola and other rioters violently and forcefully grabbed an officer's shield and pulled him to the ground, according to prosecutors. The officer had previously testified that he feared for his life. They didn't take his life. They didn't kill the officer, but the officer feared for his life, you see. And they stole his shield. It says here, Pozzola and others, well, I read that, testified that he feared for his life when someone sprayed him with a chemical substance. People piled on top of him, and a rioter used his helmet strap to choke him. That's, I guess, about the worst of it. That paragraph right there. The strap for his helmet, used that to try to choke him. Somebody sprayed something in his general vicinity. His shield got taken away, and he was afraid. He was really fearful that he might lose his life. It says here, prosecutors told the court that Pozzola was one of the most violent, enthusiastic foot soldiers in the conspiracy that took place on January 6th. They added that he wasn't facing charges on his political affiliation, but on his conduct. No, no, it has nothing to do with the fact that he's a Proud Boy, that he's in the Proud Boys' extremist organization, as the article sets it up. Has nothing to do with politics. And then, like I say, all weekend, you're treated to these talking heads that are just there saying that, you know, this is great. It's great that Giuliani's life is being destroyed. His life is falling apart, said one of them. And then you see what they're doing to Donald Trump. They want to put him behind bars for centuries. 90-some counts now. Listen to this. If you watch this clip, it's MSNBC, but it's another one of those next year's calendar, you know, trial dates for Donald Trump. But and of course, Bill Barr says there's nothing politically motivated in any of these cases. You know, just let it play out. And if you can get it done before the election, then so be it. That's what we need. But look at the graphic that MSNBC puts up. They've got the calendar on the top and then down below all of the key moments politically, you know, Super Tuesday or when the convention is or what, you know, as if it doesn't have anything to do with politics. They've revealed themselves. They say the quiet part out loud right with the graphic. This is clip 4.
Okay, let's take a look at the calendar together now, Hugo, as we check the critical, really, timeline here for Donald Trump. First up, we have Judge Tanya Chutkan, who has set the federal election trial to start March 4th. That's the day before Super Tuesday. That is actually the same day that Fannie Willis had wanted. You have the New York hush money case. That may have to slide. While we have the classified documents case, that is still set for May. So will the Jack Smith election case land on March 4th, or is it going to be pushed back? Is there enough time realistically for the defense to properly prepare?
I think the primary issue is going to be whether the pretrial motions in any of these cases start pushing the calendar back. You know, we expect in the classified documents case for that to be an issue. It's less clear in the federal January 6th case. You know, I think Judge Chutkan has showed that she is keen to hew to a quick trial schedule. And she has previously said, right, if Trump makes inflammatory remarks, tries to poison a jury pool, tries to take steps that would cause this trial to be an issue, she will move the trial date up.
All of these commentators, they're the same people that are almost always arguing for shorter prison sentences or commutations or defunding the police, law enforcement, letting criminals out of jail. But when it comes to their political opponents, I mean, they are quite happy to let them languish away in prison, in solitary confinement, in the case of some of the January 6th protesters. And then these two Proud Boy guys, 17 and 18 years, the other one 10 years. They're not interested in shortening those sentences. This is from NBC News. It says here, only one of former President Donald Trump's 18 co-defendants in the Georgia election interference case has been jailed as a result of the charges. I heard another talking head say just the other day that Donald Trump should be held in jail while he waits for these trials because he's too dangerous. He's too dangerous. Well, one of the 18 in that Fannie Willis case, they're actually keeping him behind bars. It says on Friday, defendant Harrison Floyd was informed during his initial court appearance that he'd be spending more time at the Fulton County Jail since he was considered a potential flight risk. Floyd bristled at the suggestion that he might not return for future proceedings in the case. There's no way I'm a flight risk, ma'am, he told the judge. After she denied his bond request, I showed up before the president was here, he added, referring to Trump. I'm not running away. I showed up. They're keeping him behind bars. Now, that's part of the punishment here. Well, he waits for the trial. Just put him in the Fulton County Jail, where I think something like 4 inmates have died mysteriously in the last month or two. It's a dangerous place. Just like the D.C. gulag that they're putting the Jan 6 protesters in. It says here, Floyd, who's charged with racketeering, conspiring, and influencing a witness, turned himself in Thursday afternoon ahead of Trump's 20-minute appearance at the jail that evening. Prosecutors allege that Floyd, the former leader of Black Voices for Trump and the only black man among the defendants, was part of a scheme to pressure election worker Ruby Freeman into making false statements. Freeman had been falsely accused by Trump and his allies of election fraud. You would think there'd be a lot of liberal talking heads that would say, well, just to put the one black guy behind bars is racist. But none of that. Nope. If he's a Trump supporter, he's dangerous. This is from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It says here, a Fulton County jail inmate died Saturday, the fourth such death this month. Samuel Lawrence, 34, was found unresponsive by a detention officer in his cell around 4:20 p.m. And on it goes. Miles Taylor, I think he's the anonymous guy that came out and started criticizing Trump. And then, of course, as soon as you do that, then you immediately become one of the regular contributors on MSNBC or on CNN. Here he is saying that if courts rule against Donald Trump, that it's dangerous because Trump could call for another January 6th protest, another insurrection. Listen to this one, number five.
What concerns me, though, is that if any of these courts rule against Donald Trump, there is, I think, a very real prospect of violence. That's one of those moments where Trump could foment another January 6th type event. And I think law enforcement's watching that very closely. It's a real concern, politics aside.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's a frightening concern as well.
A frightening concern. That's why they want to put him behind bars now. Just take him out, you know, and then all the chatter about disqualifying him from some of the ballots in New Hampshire or wherever. These people really are, they're lunatics. They're the danger that the United States is facing. Certainly one of the gravest ones. These people who are out there just nonstop spewing their propaganda. It never ends. Even on a three-day weekend, it continues. This is from The Blaze. Denver to pay $4.7 million to Black Lives Matter protesters who violated emergency curfew during 2020 riots. So the rioters in Denver, this is like, what, the third city now that's made these huge cash payouts to the BLM rioters that broke windows and burned buildings and in some cases killed people? They're getting paid for their rioting. They're actually getting paid cash money for the rioting damage they committed in the summer of 2020. They're rewarded, but not so for the January 6th protesters. They're punished, severely punished. It says here, the city of Denver recently reached a $4.7 million settlement with more than 300 Black Lives Matter protesters arrested for violating the city's emergency curfew over order to participate in the summer 2020 riots following the death of George Floyd. I mean, $4.7 million, that's a pretty hefty payout to just 300 BLM supporters. 300? It's just crazy, the so-called system of justice. And then they wonder why Donald Trump's popularity just continues to rise. Well, like we played for you last week, there's just a lot of people that see what's going on. They know that this is unjust. They know that this is like Soviet Russia tactics. This is what the United States has turned into. Here's George Stephanopoulos with Donna Brazil. They're talking about how that Trump, unbelievably, he still looks like he could manage to beat Joe Biden. This is clip three.
It is kind of shocking in a way that despite all of the baggage that Donald Trump carries, he's tied with Joe Biden right now.
Yeah, I mean, George, when I looked at that recent poll, the Wall Street Journal, I said, oh, this could keep me up at night.
With every passing month, with every new indictment, Donald Trump seems to be consolidating his control over the Republican Party.
They just can't seem to understand how that all of these evil Soviet-like tactics, how they're not destroying Donald Trump. They just can't seem to put him away. And of course, as Sam pointed out this morning, they're referring to polls that are fake and biased themselves. And yet he's still running neck and neck with Biden, which probably means he's about 10 or 15 points ahead of Biden. When we come back, we've got a great news of the work segment that just kind of summarizes everything that happened over that exciting 2 or 3 days when General Flynn and his team paid a visit to Armstrong College, and you saw him on this program. He was able to speak to our students. He gave a live event at Armstrong Auditorium, and we were able to dine with him on a few occasions as well. So that will be coming up as soon as we get back from the break. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
On the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus, the school year got off to an exciting start with the long-anticipated visit of General Michael Flynn. General Flynn is a U.S. Army 3-star general who served in Grenada, Haiti, the Balkans, and other deployments over a 33-year career. He served as Director of Intelligence for Joint Special Operations Command in Afghanistan and Iraq, and later for the Defense Intelligence Agency. After warning against President Barack Obama's Middle East policy, he was forced into retirement from the DIA. When he became National Security Advisor to President Donald Trump, the general's enemies targeted him for entrapment and removal from office in 2017. In 2020, General Flynn was exonerated when the Department of Justice dropped its charges against him as unjustified. Chapter 6 of America Under Attack, titled Silencing a Critic, describes the unfair attacks that General Flynn faced, beginning with his time at the DIA. After reading America Under Attack, General Flynn called the Philadelphia Church of God to request more copies of the book. Following this call, General Flynn and his staff exchanged messages with Trumpet Daily host Mr. Stephen Fleury over the next few months. Eventually, a door opened for General Flynn to visit the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus on August 20th and 21st. On Sunday, August 20th, General Michael Flynn arrived on campus in time to watch a special encore performance of Celtic Throne. Afterwards, he congratulated the cast and crew on a fantastic show and then took some group photos with the Celtic Throne family.
You guys are amazing. I mean, you really, really have incredible talent. And when we heard the story about all the connections and all the family and stuff, that makes it even more special. So I just want to say thank you guys very much for all that you're doing. Because you're actually out there, you're inspiring this nation. When you went around New England and up and down the seaboard, wherever else you go, you are inspiring this nation. And that's something that we need right now. So thanks for doing that.
That evening, General Flynn attended a special banquet on the balcony of Armstrong Auditorium with a small group of faculty, ministers, and other guests. The next day, General Flynn visited the Imperial Academy elementary students, spending some time with the children and discussing what they were learning in school. Then he gave a special two-part interview on the Trumpet Daily program. After lunch at the John Amos Fieldhouse, the General spoke to the Imperial Academy students and homeschool students from the local area, instructing them on some lessons from his personal life. After a meet and greet with Philadelphia Church of God employees and AC students, General Flynn gave a special, live-streamed keynote address to the general public at Armstrong Auditorium. He answered a number of questions from the crowd and then visited with attendees in the lobby. General Flynn said that meeting the young people at Herbert W. Armstrong College and Imperial Academy reminded him what he was fighting for. The General's visit was a unique opportunity for members and students to meet a courageous public figure who has dedicated his life to serving his country. To learn more about the work of the Philadelphia Trumpet, visit thetrumpet.com.
There you have it, this week's News of the Work segment, a day early, actually. We had it ready last week, but usually we do that on Tuesdays. But as you've noticed from the last couple, 3 weeks of this show, we've been bouncing around on the calendar as we've tried to squeeze in these special segments. But that gave you a really nice rundown of all that went on campus here just 2 weeks ago. And they showed a shot, by the way, of that afternoon address. He spoke to not just to the IA students, but also AC students as well. And I think that went on for about an hour. And what we have for you today, this is more exclusive material, but we've got about 10 or 11 minutes highlights from that address to the young people, to, in many cases, teenagers. So that goes on for about 10 or 11 minutes. And then we'll go ahead and conclude. I told you we might finish up just a little bit early today. We'll go ahead and conclude today's program with that 11-minute segment. So the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about the rebroadcast at LFA TV. That comes every weekday evening at 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. on the East Coast. Don't forget about our own Rumble channel, The Trumpet Daily. And if you're there at this moment, make sure that you give us a nice thumbs up as we continue to build a larger audience for this program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll conclude with those remarks that General Michael Flynn made before our young people.
One of the things that my mom and dad used to always instill in us was really two things. So if you want a life lesson, one of the most important things my father taught us is, my father taught us it's the golden rule, right? Anybody know what the golden rule is? What's the golden rule? Yeah, how simple is that, right? The golden rule. It's so important, right? No matter who you deal with in life, and you know, you'll engage people as you get older and you start to do things with as a young adult and then as an adult, and you start to deal with even your friends. Though my mother used to tell us when I was a teenager, I'll never forget this. When I was a teenager, she would say, the worst time of life is to be a teenager. Right? How many teenagers I got in here? Yeah. And the reason why is because it's just hard. There's so many hard decisions that you have to make because you're going through this massive transition of life. You know, you are about to be, for the teenagers, 13 to 17, let's say, because all of a sudden when you step from being 17 to 18, right, you're an adult. You're now an adult. And so what makes you an adult at 18 when before you were 17 or 16, you have all these really tough decisions to make. And so some of those decisions have to do with the people that you're around, the kids that you're around, the decisions that you have to make as a child. So treat others like you like to be treated, the golden rule. The second thing that my mother taught us. That was my father. My father was adamant about that because he would see us interacting with kids on the ball fields or in schools, or he'd hear something bad about Mike or whatever. And he'd go, hey, treat others like, you know, you like to be treated. How are they treating you? And I would say, well, they were kind of tough. And he'd say, well, you know, how do you want to be treated? And I would say, I want to be treated like this. You know, I wanted to be treated nicely, or I wanted to be treated with kindness, right? Simple things. These are simple things. These are not complex issues. This is not like, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, you know, that you have to learn, you know, calculus to be kind, right? My mother used to teach us to be lifelong learners. Lifelong learning is such an important thing because all of you, you know, you sit there sometimes, you get a lot of homework and you're like, ah, you know, I don't want to do this homework tonight. And you complain a lot, okay? You complain a lot. And I know you do. I know you do. And you complain a lot to each other, right? And then you go home and you might complain a little bit and, you know, your mom or your dad says something. So lifelong learning. And I tell you the story of my mom because my mom was somebody who was adamant that we were going to sit down, do your homework, and get something out of what it is that you're doing, whatever it is. Whatever endeavor, whatever walk of life you're going to choose to be, whether it's to be, you know, a great mom for children, a great dad for your family, or whether it's to go off and be, you know, an astronaut, right? Doesn't make any difference. And when you decide, and, you know, particularly at an early age, that you're going to go do something, you know, put your heart into it, right? And you're going to find pretty quickly if that's what's meant to be for you. As I have counseled many, many young people in my life, I always tell them, and I just told the young kids over there earlier this morning, and I'll tell you all, and this includes the parents that are here, and maybe members of the faculty, you know, to be really, really successful in life is very, very simple. And you have to remember never to forget to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, please. So if you want to write things down, those are things to write down. Because sometimes we forget to say that, right? And you say things like, I always catch kids, too. I always catch them because that's the military in me. Part of it was because this is what my father taught me. This is what my mother taught me. So if we were standing there talking to an adult, and you would say, they'd ask me a question, you'd go, yeah, yeah. Oh, you only do that once in my house. Yeah, 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 right? Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know better than that. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Please. There's a word that I want you to write down. Chivalry. Chivalry. Okay, and I tell people that chivalry is not dead. Okay, chivalry is not dead. And so, you know, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean to be chivalrous and open a door for a young lady. It means to just be polite. Right? It's very, very important. The other word, to really go look it up, and look it up in the Bible, too. I think this is important. But look it up for its deep meaning and ask yourself if you are this, okay? And that word is humble, or another extension of it is humility, right? Humility. Are you a humble person? Or do you think you're a big shot, right? Right? I mean, there are people like that. That's part of your personality. But the idea of humility is so important. So if you want to be successful, don't forget that you're only as good as the people that are around you. Okay? People got you to where you are in life, even where you are now. So don't forget the idea of humility, okay, and being humble. Because as you get older, and you'll know this, and you see this now, but you don't understand it. Okay, mostly I'm, you know, and maybe I'm talking to some of the adults, but I know young people, you don't always understand it. Now, we all have something called an ego, right? And an ego will get in our way if we think we're too much of a big shot, right? So when you think that you're too much of a big shot, you know, you want to reflect back on, you want to take that back, you know, don't ever put yourself out, right? First is last is first. I mean, there's all kinds of biblical stuff about that. So everything that I'm talking to you about, really, up to this point, is really about common sense. It's common sense. I'm not telling you anything that you're, hopefully you didn't learn by the time you were 10, right? All of you, right? We learned. I mean, we're sort of who we are by about the time we reach 10. If you're raised right, and you have learned the things that matter in life, you don't know it, but by about the time you're 10 years old, you can be very successful if you've gotten those that foundation from the people around you that love you. When you get up and you go look at yourself in the mirror, okay? Now this is about defining oneself. Once you know exactly who you are, because once you realize exactly who you are, then you know exactly what it is that you want to do. And you know exactly what purpose in life you want to achieve. And it's that simple. Again, it's like I'm not up here trying to, you know, share with you any brilliance. I'm just sharing with you my life's experience and the things that I have seen in life. I believe that I was given an opportunity, frankly, on a silver platter by my own parents, right? Where they said, here's a beautiful country. We want you to go off and do good. You know, have a family, work hard, you know, go do whatever you want to do, be whatever you want to be, treat others like you want to be treated, never stop learning, and all of that, right? And always be kind to others, always put yourself on that, you know, the right side of that line, right? That line of good, that place where you don't want to be whatever the opposite is. And I think if you do that, you know, you can be massively successful in life. And for me, that's where I get my energy is from you, is thinking about you and your future. But at a certain point in time, and it's my responsibility right now to protect your future. I feel that. My responsibility, and I can define my more broadly, like our, right? Our responsibility when I look at teachers and parents and grandparents. It's our responsibility to protect your future. It's your responsibility to get ready for it. Okay? It's your responsibility to get ready for your future. And you're given in this amazing place, right? This very spiritual place that you're sitting in on this beautiful campus, on this, you know, beautiful Oklahoma day, as hot as it is. This is a place that you are able to prepare for your future. And that's your responsibility. I will stand my ground to protect your ability to prepare. Okay? But when it's time for you to do, act, or be, right? When it's time for you to do that, you need to be ready. I just want to say to Gerald, thank you very much. And Vicky, thank you guys very much for allowing me to have this part of today with you guys in this wonderful place, this beautiful, beautiful place. And I am just so, I'm so filled with, I'm just filled with emotion because I love kids. And I think that, because when I see these bright smiling faces that are just filled with talent and filled with such, I don't know, an embrace of the future, you guys don't realize, you know, where you're at in life. And that's okay. You're going to learn that as you go forward. And when you learn it, you're going to find out and you're going to look back and maybe you remember a little bit of today, you know, and the things that I, like I said earlier, and I told these young ladies over there this morning, thank you, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, please, do not forget those phrases or those words. They will make you highly, highly successful in life just by being kind to others, okay? God bless you. God bless America. And thank you very much. Thank you.